Hello, Queen's Club. All right. I'm going to give you all a minute to come in. I think there was an email that went out. I hope there was an email that went out reminding everybody what the plan is tonight. So this is your, what has been your masterclass time with one of the coaches here in Queen's Club. We decided for the next couple of months, we're just going to do some Turbo Jam Q&A for you guys. Instead of trying to teach a new concept, we're going to go just a little bit deeper into what we're studying this week for sure, but during the month, and give you guys an opportunity to ask all the questions. So here's how we'll roll. I have a few things to say up front. And if you have any questions at all about the Taking Control module here in OBS, or about urges and buffering, I want you to populate the Q&A, okay? If you ask in the chat, I might not see it, but I will definitely call up the Q&A, okay? So a couple of things that I wanted to say about this topic. One of my favorite things to talk about this topic is competing priorities. And that is a lesson in the NoBS. And I remember the first time I listened to it. I listened to it when it was part of our very old, not very old, but older workshop called the No Sugar, No Flour workshop, where Corinne had actually lifted this lesson from No Sugar, No Flour and put it into No BS because it's so good. And basically, Melissa says it's her favorite one in Module 5. Me too. I mean, a lot of people love justifications. It's really super good too. That's basically, you know, pulling the BS light on all of your excuses. I loved competing priorities mainly because it spoke to me, okay? And basically, what it means is you have the unintentional model that you're doing now that includes overeating. And you have the intentional model that you want to get to, which includes your goal weight. So everything that you do or every decision you have with regard to food goes one way or the other, right? You either have your goal weight in mind or you have the overeating happening. And the overeating is driven by, you know, I deserve this, or I just want a little more, or whatever the thought is that drives that overeating model, right? So you have the overeating model when you're trying to decide whether you want to clean that plate. And then you have the goal weight model that has your future self in mind. Those two compete, right? That's the negotiation that's in your head all the time. I always talk about how, you know, that urge voice for me, I call it my negotiator. Did y'all see the movie? It was called The Negotiator. Kevin Spacey was in it. I think about that, and I think about, I think it was Morgan Freeman who he was talking to, and I think about how the negotiator in the movie was very calm and very decisive and very, you know, that's what mine sounds like. You know, my urge voice is not that screaming, oh my God, we have to have this. It's, now, Kathy, don't you think you'd really like a snack right now? Because you're a little tired. And you know, it's that kind of voice, as you can imagine, you know, that's in my head. So you have the desire to overeat versus the desire to be in your goal weight, but you really want both of them. You can't have both of them. The desire to overeat lives in that back part of your brain, and the desire to hit your goal weight lives in the front. So you have to have the conversation. You have to decide which one you're going to be listening to. So as I was thinking about these competing priorities, and I was looking through, I took a dive into the workshop that's so good, the Deep Dive Buffering and Urges workshop. I came across the 5 steps to handling your urges, and I thought, this is perfect. You know, Betsy preaches these all the time, gave me a good review, so I thought I would run through these 5 steps really quick with you guys so that you can remember them. And if you have not seen them, they are on page 7. Of the Buffering and Urges workbook. And they are so, so good. So when you, buffering class was so good. Yeah, it was. When you have the urge to eat, or the urge to eat, you know, overeat or eat off plan, The first step is to identify the thought. Okay. Identify what your brain is telling you that creates the urge to eat or creates the suggestion to eat. And it could be those thoughts, you know, like, I deserve this. I had a good day. Or I am super tired. I need some energy. Or a little bit won't hurt. You know, it's those kinds of thoughts that are trying to talk you into eating when you know it's an overeat and it's going to result in a recovery worksheet. So think about what those thoughts are. Those are thought errors. Okay. So a thought error is one of those thoughts that's in your brain that is really meaningless to your life. You have them. I have them. Everyone has them. They are those thoughts that you really don't want to let attach, that you want to just like throw in a thought bubble and let them float away. You know, they're the thoughts that are not serving you. So you just watch for those habitual thought errors, that BS thought that leads to your urge that your brain is used to just queuing up. Okay. They're meaningless. They're powerless. They're harmless. You know, they're not going to hurt you or anything like that. You just want to be aware of them. Okay. Queuing up that awareness is super important because it shows you when you start going down that habit trail. Okay. Step two, be your bestie. Don't judge yourself for having the thoughts or the urges, right? They're normal. Urges to overeat are normal. Urges to eat off plan are normal. Urges to snack when you don't need a snack, it's all normal. If you can access the version of you who wants to solve the overeating, then that's where you want to go. You know, telling yourself you shouldn't have this urge, or I shouldn't, you know, be thinking these thoughts, or I shouldn't, you know, whatever. That's not helpful. Okay. You just normalize them and you journal daily about your overeating or about your urges to eat off plan. And that's how you find the thoughts in step one and how you condition yourself to normalizing them in step two and telling yourself, you know what, I've got your back here. This is okay. This is part of the process. I was telling somebody on a coaching call today who was, it's actually her weight loss had, she said it didn't stall, but it had, you know, she was not losing weight. She had lost like, I don't know, 75 pounds or something. And she picked up binge eating. And she said, so now people are asking her, oh, are you going to lose more weight? And she's like, no, I'm kind of binge eating here. And I said, no, stop saying that. What you say is yes, because working on this stage of your weight loss is what you're doing. You know, you're working on the binge eating now. It's just part of the process. So recognize, talk to yourself in ways where you are your own best friend. Watch for the fat girl thinking thoughts and take them out. Number three, stop reacting to urges. You don't talk back to them. You don't judge them. You don't try and figure out why you're having them. You don't, it says no trying to stop thinking about it. Okay, this is where you allow the urge. This is where you say, there it is. There's the urge. It's supposed to feel uncomfortable. That's what an urge is. I want to eat. I hear the primal brain. Stop fighting it. If you stop fighting the urges, guess what? They're okay being there, right? It's like you say, oh, I don't know. You stop. Think about traffic, right? How many of you have the urge to just drive through the median and over people when you're in traffic, but you don't, right? You just let the urge to drive crazy to get yourself home, be there, and you follow the traffic. That's the same thing. I just want you to recognize the urge and be okay with it being there. Stop resisting it. Step four is three new ways to take action when you have an urge. Okay, so step four has three ways to take action. So the first way to take new action is inaction. You either just keep going, you don't feed the urge, you allow it to be there, you just don't do anything. Step two is alternate action, which I think is really fascinating. It's not buffering, But it's planning ahead of time something you like to do while you sit with an urge. Some people knit. One of the people I talked to over the past couple of days has an urge to eat in the afternoon, so she knits. Okay. You might read. You might go for a walk. Corinne talked about in the video I listened to when she was talking about these five steps. She talks about when she has an urge to eat, sometimes she'll just get up and she'll go for a walk as the urge passes. So an alternate action is a way to handle an urge. The third new action you can try is called still observation. It's where you lie down, you feel the urge feelings, listen to your brain and all the negotiating that's going on, and you journal about it. That's when you're really super curious and ready to really understand where your urges come from. Okay. Step five, and probably my most favorite step, is reinforce the new you. Give yourself a pat on the back for doing the work. Believe it's working. Reward yourself in non-food ways, but most importantly, and I tell my private clients this all the time, look for your progress. So you've been in PMP since January, let's say. It's October. You've lost 25 pounds. And your brain goes straight to, that's not enough. I should have lost more. I don't know what's happening. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe I can't do this. Instead of saying, guess what? I've lost 25 pounds and I've kept that 25 pounds off. And in the meantime, I love my husband more. I'm more patient with my kids. I show up at work. You forget all the progress that you've made. You have to keep bringing it back to believing that you're doing the work, looking for progress, and patting yourself on the back sometimes. So, five steps, review. Identify the BS thoughts, number one. Be your bestie, number two. Stop reacting to your urges. No talking back, none of that ugly self-talk. Try new actions is step four. And reinforce the new you. That's step five. Okay? Now, there are a few things in the Q&A. If you have any questions about that, remember, it's in the Buffering and Urges workbook, page 7. Corinne talks about them in more depth in her workshop in the Buffering and Urges course. It's super good stuff. All right, let's see what kind of Q&A you guys have. I only see three questions. Y'all are going to keep me busier than that, aren't you? Britta, I have hit 70 pounds down since January and I'm finding the closer I get to my goal, 13 pounds away, I'm having a harder time sitting with urges. Any tips? Why are you having a harder time sitting with urges? Well, I want to coach you on this. I would be really curious why you're having a harder time sitting with urges. I'm guessing you had urges to eat all the way down. Why is it harder now? Why do you want to, why do you even want to say that's harder? I think for you, I would try, since you've been doing this for a little while, I would try this still observation. See if you can figure out what your brain is telling you that is leading to your urge and why it feels harder. It could be, if I had to guess, Britta, it could be that you're starting to get a little nervous about maintenance and about whether or not you can keep your weight off. If I had to bet, that's what's happening. You've got a little fear going on. I could be totally wrong. If I'm off base, feel free to come back in here and say, wrong, that's not it. I can't wait for maintenance. It's all me. But maybe that is it. You know, we see that happen sometimes that the fear sets in, because if you're like me, I lost weight 5-6 times. I got not super skinny. I got good and skinny, good and thin 5 or 6 times in my adult life. And I even remember telling Corinne, I didn't do private coaching on my way down. I did it when I hit maintenance because I was so nervous. I told her, I said, I know how to lose weight. I don't know how to keep it off. I said, I'm really good at losing weight. So maybe that's what it is for you. And if that's the case, if it is a little bit of a fear of maintenance, I want you to ask yourself, why are you thinking something has to change when maintenance hits? Okay, because really nothing does. I still do a 24-hour plan every day. I still do my journaling every day. In fact, I love the life that I live now because I have these super habits and I have my four basics, and I know that gives me confidence that I'm going to keep my weight off. Barb, I just finished No BS today. I remember that we are doing this for 8 weeks. What is next week's topic for learning? Barb, I'm going to check to make sure I'm not lying to you, but I'm pretty sure, yes, next week is Hunger Scale Challenge Week. It is super cool. This is where we give you a challenge each day. You'll read about the individual challenges in the Massive Action Line. Comes out on Sunday. Watch your email. And we will tell you each day what your challenge is. One day is no snacking. One day is no eating before 10. One day is leave half your meal. It's things like that that will help you really tune into your hunger scale. The challenges help you figure out real physical hunger. They help you listen to the chatter in your head. If I tell you not to eat breakfast till 10 o'clock, and you're a 7 a.m. breakfast eater, you're going to have a lot of chatter. And that's good. It helps you uncover those BS thoughts, right, that we talked about in the 5 steps to handling urges. So that's what next week is. Next week is Hunger Scale Challenge Week. The week after that is realistic planning, a deeper look into realistic planning. And the week after that is On the Clock. So another PMP staple. All right. Candy, question about sitting in an urge. As I do, I tend to think about the food more and more as I try to talk myself out of it. And the urge then doesn't go away, so I feel like I'm white knuckling. Am I doing it wrong? I would say what you are doing with sitting with an urge is good practice for doing it, for learning how to allow it. If I were to tell you right now, okay, Candy, I need you to allow the urge, then you're going to go, I don't know how to do that, right? You have to kind of work into it. But the first thing to do is to sit with it and accept that it's there. As you are thinking about it and accepting that it's there, it may get louder. It may decide, she's not listening to me. I should scream a little louder, right? Which may result in some white knuckling at first. What happens over time as you practice sitting with your urges is that they don't get louder. They don't really escalate. They just kind of stay the same. And I had one this afternoon for a snack. Actually, I'm hungry right now too. Kind of stays the same, and then it eases off. Drink a little water, it stays the same, it eases off. So I wouldn't say you're doing it wrong. I would say to just be super patient with the urge and with the negotiation that's going on. Lisa, last night my husband suggested we buy pitas for dinner instead of eating the leftovers I had planned. In doing my recovery worksheet, I decided that I viewed the pita as an equally healthy choice, probably better in some cases. Is it reasonable to add to my protocol that it's okay to replace a meal with a store-bought pita as long as it's a small and healthy one? My issue is that I have a husband who really likes to be spontaneous. I'm looking for middle ground to me just saying no, plus I prefer not cooking. Yeah, that's fine. I would say that's absolutely fine. If you feel like it is an equal trade, you can just write that into your protocol. Make sure you're eating it to your plus two. Make sure it's not an overeat. And make sure if you like your reasons for the substitution and it's an even Steven substitution, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. Melissa, I just can't say no to urges and overeating on Saturday afternoon after I get home from all my things to do. What can I do to beat this? Well, first, Melissa, you have to stop telling yourself, I just can't say no. Okay, because you can. It just feels really hard. Just feels really uncomfortable. One of the things I read today is that most discomfort is supposed to be experienced. If you think about it, we have conditioned ourselves to not experience discomfort. We get cold, we put on a sweater. We get hot, we change our clothes into shorts. We get hungry, we eat. We get thirsty, we drink. We get tired, we go to sleep. You know, we are fixers all the time. We are fixing our discomfort. So what you've done here on Saturdays is you have conditioned yourself to not feeling discomfort of overeating or eating off plan. So what you have to do in that case, what I would suggest you would do in that case on Saturdays is to make a super duper realistic plan for yourself and plan all the snacks and start there. Okay. Start making sure that everything you are going to eat on Saturday is on your plan so that you can evaluate, you know, whether or not you want to eat it. So what happens when you put it on the plan with realistic planning is that you've taken the decision out of your primal brain, you know, that party in the back, the one that's, you know, oh, urge, we should eat, right? And it puts you into the logical decision-making part of your brain up here up front, okay? The one that has your goals in mind, the one that knows the process, the one that, you know, wants to follow the plan. If you put it in the front part of your brain, because it's on the plan, then you decide whether or not you're going to eat it. The party in the back is like, I don't care if it's on the plan or not. Let's go. The business up front, the prefrontal cortex, is like, we should follow the plan. And by the way, do we really want to eat all this stuff? Are we really that hungry? It brings the logic back into the eating decision. Okay. Hope that helps. Jillian, will you talk about meditation? I've done it in the past, but it's never stuck. I wish my husband was here to talk to you about meditation. He, for some reason, has gotten to be this meditation guru. He loves it. Of course, he's the yoga teacher, so he's always telling me you should meditate. So basically, what meditation is sitting quietly and listening to your mind. And creating space in your mind. So, what I like to do, it's like exercising your brain. You are learning to, when you meditate, you are learning to clear your mind and direct your thoughts. So, if you have, for instance, if you have a meditation app, it will always be real targeted to what it wants you to think. That's how meditation works. It wants you to, meditation is the way you exercise your brain so you learn focus. I have started doing it 5 minutes a day. And some days are super successful and I can keep a clear mind, and some days I can't. And that's okay, because it's like you don't start running the first time you start running. It takes practice. You don't start being like, you know, the all meditation guru that can meditate for 30 minutes by trying it the first time. So and by the way, I'll tell you this too. When I first learned to meditate, it would put me to sleep all the time. And that's kind of counterproductive too. So just find a quiet place and sit comfortably. Don't lay down. Sit like in a straight back chair and lay your hands up. Okay. That indicates that you're open, and listen to yourself breathe. That's what I do. I just listen to myself breathe. And Ken suggests that you breathe in to a count of four and out to a count of eight. It's very calming. That type of breathing activates your parasympathetic nervous system, and it calms you and it focuses you. So set your phone for 5 minutes and just try it and see if giving yourself that rest break for your brain sometime during your day doesn't actually help you rejuvenate a little bit, help you focus, give you a little bit more clarity. So I hope that helps. Michelle, are there any good books for an additional resource? I'm going to assume you mean an additional resource on urges and buffering. And the book I would suggest, there's a couple of them. I think it's downstairs. There are a couple of them. One is Rules of Normal Eating. That talks a lot about diet mentality. One is Brain Over Binge, which talks about overeating and urges to eat. That's a really good one. I also love the Food and Feelings workbook. So hopefully that's the kind of resource you're looking for. Shops a lot. That's Jean, I think, right? Have you considered putting specific meditations in the tribe to go along with the courses? Corinne actually is thinking about recording some meditations. She did the one for camp that was amazing. She did one for, if you guys go to the Staying on Track bonuses in the toolkit on the website, she put a meditation there as well. So yes, she actually meditates. And she sees a lot of benefit in it. And I think she's going to teach a little bit more of that and provide some more meditation options for you guys. Britta says, haha, I think you're right about maintaining. I have not been this weight since high school and have yo-yoed a lot in the past. I'll do some TDLs around maintenance. Absolutely. And Britta, you can certainly get on a coaching call and we can help you with that too, because Betsy and I have both practiced maintenance for a while, as has Corinne. Christina, I get to this point in my weight loss, 57 pounds down, where I stop dealing with urges. I either fog eat more or have those, I want it, so I'm having it, and then shut down the part of my brain that tells me that's not going to help me meet my goals if I eat it. How do I push forward so I can keep going, still have 100 pounds to lose? Why are you shutting down that brain, girl? That's what I want to know. The way you wrote this here, you said you stop dealing with urges. Why? I'm looking at the camera inquisitively. I think you have to go back to these five steps and really start gaining some awareness on the thoughts leading to your urges and start doing your recovery worksheets. So interesting, at camp, someone called them discovery worksheets. And I thought that was so good. I think Corinne may even rename the whole thing at some point, discovery worksheet, because that's what you're actually doing when you do a recovery worksheet. When you don't sit with an urge and you feed your urge, you are likely overeating or you're eating off plan. You should always do a recovery worksheet. The recovery worksheet is not a punishment, you guys. It's actually a very well-guided thought download that helps you identify the thought that led to the overeat or the off-plan eat, and it helps you figure out what to do next time. So it really helps you analyze what's going on in your mind and environmentally around you that led to the urge to overeat, okay? So you have to do those things if you want to move past this stage that you're in right now, Christina. I want it, so I'm having it. Might always be the thought, right? But when are you going to pull the BS light on it and decide to be your own bestie? I just looked over here at step two and decide on a new action. You know, those are totally in your control. You know, if you think about the model, circumstance is just what's going on around you. You have a thought that says, I want it, so I'm having it. It leads to an urge that leads to an overeat. Then the result is you wanted it, so you had it. The thought, the feeling, and the action lines in the model, y'all, 100% up to you and within your control. So you are deciding to eat when you have this thought. Okay, there is at some point in here that you are making a decision to eat. So how do you push forward? I'd activate those five steps. I would 100% activate those five steps. And if you can't do that on your own, get on a call. Get on a coaching call, okay? Roz, I'm having trouble getting past giving in to urges. I tell myself just urge. It's just an urge. It's not on plan. But if the urge doesn't stop and I had a stress day, I give in and say it's an overeat. That's right. I'll do the discovery worksheet, having a problem getting to the thought and feeling beyond I want it or stress. Roz, that may be all it is. That may be all it is. So what you have to do when you identify, if that's all it is, you just start, you know, thinking about the competing priorities. Do I really want it or do I really want the weight loss? And if the answer is, I really want the food, then your brain starts justifying all the reasons it wants the food. It'll make you feel better, Roz. It'll help the stress. It'll comfort you. And that's where you go back to these five steps. That's where you identify the BS thoughts. And you say, no, it doesn't comfort me. No, it doesn't alleviate my stress. It only puts weight on me. And that's not what I want because I'm running Disney next year. You know, you just have to start talking back. Get these two parts of your brains, y'all, to talk to each other. That's exactly what you have to do. Because right now, if you're in the urge and you're giving in, you're just letting the problem brain run the show. That's not what you want. You want this logical part of your brain, the one that's got your best interest at part, to take over and to at least try and mitigate some of the trash talk your primal brain is giving you. Melanie, what are good prompts for writing when you have an urge to eat off plan? You know what? Here's what I always do, seriously. Sometimes I will find myself standing in front of the pantry. And my favorite question is, what am I really hungry for? That's my favorite question when I'm having an urge. What am I really hungry for? What do I really need right now? And for me, usually, it's a break. It's a meditation. It's a short walk. It's a minute to myself, right? So that's what I would do. I would ask, what am I really hungry for? What do I need right now? What do I really need right now? What is this? Or you might ask, what is this urge trying to tell me? You know, and the answer is not that we need to eat all the things. You know, what am I really needing right now? Is probably the best thing I can come up to. Why is it so much easier to shut down the part of my brain that tells me I shouldn't eat rather than the part that tells me I should give in to the urge? Because that's what you've practiced, Christina. That's all that is the habit brain in all its glory, saying, we've got a good, really good habit going here. Let's just keep it up. I want you to think about this. I read the book Atomic Habits, which was super good. And one of the analogies the author gave was, if you picture a big sand hill, a big hill of sand, and you put a marble at the top of the hill and the marble rolls off to the side. Okay. It creates a divot, right? Or a gully or a path through the sand. It gets to the bottom. Put the marble back at the top of the hill. Where's it going to go? Down the same path. It's going to continue to go down the same path if it goes without direction. All right. If you just set it up there, it's going to keep hitting that path. But if you set the marble up there on the top of the hill and you give it a little nudge down another side, it's going to ease its way down the other side. And it's going to create a new path. It's not going to be as deep and well-worn, but it's going to be a new path. So you have to give yourself a nudge. You have to give yourself the opportunity to create a new pathway in your brain that creates a new habit. So over time, as you use the new habit and the new path, the old one, you know, the deeply created one, tends to wear, tends to weather, tends to erode away. But it takes time and it takes effort and it takes fortitude to stay with the new path. So that's why it's so much easier for you to go down the old road, because that's the one you've practiced. It takes effort to create the new road. And it takes your fortitude is such a great word, but that's what it takes. Okay, Maria, what's going on when a super old habit pops up seemingly out of nowhere? My PMP work has been super strong the last few weeks, and last night I grabbed ass two chicken legs while cleaning up the kitchen. It happens. What if the habit, here's what I want you to think about. What if that old habit just stays in there forever? Because it might, and it's okay that it does. I think that's the beautiful thing that we can recognize here, is that everything you've learned up to this day, your brain is storing. It always has memories. So it's okay that a new habit or an old habit kind of cropped up. You might just go, well, that was interesting. I think I'll do a recovery worksheet and see what might have triggered that old habit. you know, use it as an opportunity to learn, as an opportunity to figure out maybe, you know, I wonder why that one came back, and to start raising the awareness on it again so that you don't react to it in the same way next time. How do you recommend we handle sweets, tempting foods that are in the house because of kids and husband? Well, for me, I would remember that they're in the house because the kids and husband want it, not because it's on my plan. That's how I would handle it. My husband, oh my gosh, y'all, he loves his beer. And he loves all his, you know, all the different, you know, the IPAs and the sours and, you know, all these things. And I open up that refrigerator every night to fix dinner, and I'm like, sure would like to have a beer tonight. I sure would. Boy, you know what? That Bear Walker would be good, or that Homestyle would be good. But then I think to myself, it goes back to the competing priorities. Do I really want the beer, or do I want to maintain my weight? Right? And so what's in the middle of that? How can I find neutrality in the middle of that? So how can I ratchet down the desire on the beer and ratchet up the desire to maintain my weight? And, you know, so that's what I'm thinking at the time, is how can I create the space between the competing desires? So, you know, that's kind of woo, but really, how do you handle it? You either put it on the plan so that's there, or you tell yourself it's not yours. You tell yourself that's, you know, it's not part of my protocol, and it's not part of something that I choose to eat tonight, because for me, this part of my brain says I'd rather have the weight loss. Which step is that, y'all? Step four? In action? Maybe? Rebecca's hit my goal, 38 pounds, and so scared that I'm going to gain it back. Just bought new clothes and had to keep telling myself it's okay to buy a size medium. Also, I think I could lose more. So going to see if I keep sticking to my plan. If I go down, anything will help that process, anything to help that process. Yeah, you just keep doing what you know you can do. You just, you know, the plan doesn't change. That's what Weight Watchers and, you know, all these places, Jenny Craig and everything, they all have weight loss plans. They don't have maintenance. Well, Weight Watchers has a maintenance plan, or they used to. But it totally changes everything. We're telling you not to change anything. You lose weight the same way you're going to keep it off. So you keep doing your plans. You keep doing your self-love work. You keep doing your journaling. You keep doing all the things that got you to weight loss. You don't stop doing anything. You keep listening to coaching calls. You keep listening to podcasts. You keep taking notes, you know, when something really strikes you. So when you have a fear of maintenance, you think something's going to change. You think you have to, or maybe you're thinking, I don't have to do a plan anymore. I don't have to do these things anymore. If you keep doing what you've always done to lose the weight, then you keep your weight off. You know, if you monitor your overeating, you do your recovery worksheets, you stick to your plans, all that, you're going to keep the weight off. See, you might lose more. You might decide you could lose more. That's actually what happened to me. I decided I was going to just, you know, let my body decide based on what I wanted to eat in my protocol and how many exceptions I wanted to wait a week and what lifestyle I wanted to live. I let my body choose my goal weight. All right, Lisa, if we anticipate an urge tomorrow, is it better to plan the thing and then see if we want it at the time? I would say yes. I knew I had to park behind a cupcake store and panicked thinking I'm going to want a cupcake. So I put it on my plan for the day. Then the next day when I was there, I decided I really didn't want one. Would it have been better not to plan and face the urge as it came up? I know I logically didn't want it, but was afraid to face the urge and not be able to have it. That's such a great question. I love that you knew. You planned far enough in advance that you knew what you were going to hit environmentally. You knew what your trigger was going to be and you planned for it. I also love that you didn't just eat it because you had planned it, that you that's the beauty of planning a binge or planning an overeat, is that you take the reaction to the environmental cue, which was parking, in this case, parking behind the cupcake place, out of the primal brain and putting it into the prefrontal cortex because it's on the plan. Urge averted. Or maybe the urge came up and it wasn't as strong because you had planned for it. I think that's brilliant. You might have had a suggestion and then decided, yeah, I just really don't want that. It's okay. That's one really great way to use visualization too, because I bet you did that and you didn't even think about it. You probably said, tomorrow, I know this is what's going to happen and I know this is how I'm going to handle it. So when you visualize ahead of time how you want something to happen, your brain thinks it's practice, right? Your brain thinks it's already done it. So visualization, at times when you know you tend to have urges to eat, visualization ahead of time as to how you want it to work out, your brain thinks is already happening and already knows how to do it. So it's really great practice. Paige wants to know, will the meditation be on the video from camp? I had to leave early on Sunday and missed it, and I've seen so many comments on it. Yes, I believe it will. I believe it will. She may even send it out separately as well, which would be super cool. Nicole wants to know if I can see her question. I think I answered it. Handling the sweets and tempting foods. Okay, so she probably posted that again. Let me know if I didn't, if you need more clarification on it, Nicole. I made a choice that I need to learn to manage myself with chocolate and cookies in the house. They're on protocol and eaten ideally when planned. Many times I'm fine ignoring them unless I plan. Are there any ideas to work on being in the same place as foods that I overeat? You know, that's a really interesting question, because I think it's good work to do to have the foods around that I tend to overeat as well. Like, I have an open bag of chips in my pantry. And I see that open bag of chips and I practice not eating it. I practice hearing the urge to dive in, especially when Ken's not home. And I practice listening to the suggestion and telling myself, you know what, it's not on plan. In fact, that's not how you keep your weight off, by putting your face in a bag of chips. But there are some people who are not ready for that. And that's okay. There are some people who would rather not have the chips in the house. And that's okay. You know, you don't have to tempt yourself to become a person who doesn't overeat or doesn't answer urges. You don't have to on purpose tempt yourself. I'm not saying I on purpose tempt myself. I'm just saying I didn't clean the bag of chips out. So however you want to handle it is fine. If you want to practice like Roz is practicing, with her cookies in the house, so she has them there when she plans them, I think that's fine. But I do think it takes practice to be able to manage that and to be okay with them being there in the house with you. All right. So that's the last question, you guys. Is there anything else? Does anybody have any other questions, or is there anything that does anybody have any specific coaching that they want on urges? Okay, just on buffering or on urges. And if not, we might go ahead and get out of here. So Britta has raised her hand. That's good. I think that was one of those questions I wanted more information on anyway. So let's take Britta real quick. And then we'll call it a night. Trying to get you. All right. Did it ask you to stay? Here, you're coming. Hi.
Hi. Am I bright enough? I'm in my bedroom.
Yeah, you're fine. You're okay, fine. Great. So. Great. Yeah. Let's see what your question was. Oh, yeah. You said you hit 70 pounds down and you're finding a harder time sitting with urges, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So
tell me some more about that.
Yes. So I found, so I started January, I started as a groupie and then I'm a June baby.
Okay.
And I joined, I think by the time I hit June, I was about 50, I was about 50 pounds down. And then I joined in June because I knew I missed the May start and I knew that, and I was like, oh, I'm nuts. And then when it came, I was like, oh, great. I knew that I needed support in going further. Cause I felt like I'd been white knuckling and all that. And so I've gone through the white knuckling and all that to hit about, again, I'm 70 down now. And, I find now at nighttime, I'm white knuckling and I'm finding it really challenging and I give in. I've done the urge jar. I listened to Brooke's podcast about the urge jar, found it very helpful. But I'm finding that now I'm kind of putting it down and I'm not following the urge jar. And at night I just like, I just give in to the like, oh, whatever, I just want it voice. And I found I had a lot more discipline. I think when I had more to lose, if that makes sense.
Why do you think you had more discipline when you had more to lose? If you had to guess, just take a wild guess.
I think because it felt like a further along goal or like, oh, I have to work really hard. Cause like initially my goal is 83 pounds. So like at 83 pounds, that's, you got to work hard to get it off. And then now I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like I'm 70 down, whatever, which is crazy because I didn't want to be 70 down. I want to be 83 down.
Right. So that's the thought to watch for.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm almost there. Yeah. I can let it slide.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I feel like that line of thought has really gotten me the last like month and a half, just slowing everything down. Cause it's like, I don't know, what's 10 pounds. And then, but, and I think that's why I've used so much in the past is you get close to your goal and then you're just like, I don't know, it's fine. Smaller jeans fit like, and you get very, I get very complacent, I think.
You take your foot off the gas. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty common. So if we go back to these five steps of saying no to urges, you've identified the thought.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I wrote them down. I'm just looking for my thing. Yeah.
So once you identify the thought, then you start having the conversation with yourself about it. So I would really start journaling how to answer that thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that when you hear it at night and when your brain wants to, you know, come on, Britta. It's time for come on now. Come on, girl.
Yeah.
Let's hit the chips, right? You can answer it compassionately and say, remember the competing desire conversation.
Yeah.
Lower the temperature on the urge because you're raising the temperature on what you really want.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you're picking your discomfort. Do you want the discomfort of the urge? Or do you want the discomfort of knowing that you busted plan? Which discomfort, right?
Yeah.
So this is where you, from a real compassionate place,
right?
You decide which discomfort you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then you allow the urge, you allow it to be there. Then you decide which action you're going to take, whether it's, maybe this is what you do. Maybe this is what you try. When you have that urge at night, what's something else you can do?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. There's always a thing to do. I could do something I like though. So like I could, I have a Peloton so I could like pop on there. I could go for, I saw going for walks. That was nice. I live in a wild neighborhood. So it's not like a nighttime thing for me.
Okay.
But something like going on my Peloton or even just journaling. Like I have, the planner and I added extra TDL pages and stuff to it. So journaling could be good. I always have something to put away, although that's not.
Well, all right. So when I was listening to this today, I laughed out loud because Corinne's hilarious. She said, what you don't want to do is pick something you don't want to do.
Yes.
All right. So she was coaching somebody and somebody said, well, you know, I could clean the toilets. And she was like, what? No, that's not going to keep you from eating.
No, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So no chores, something you enjoy.
Right.
Okay. And then after the urge passes and you've spent another, you know, few minutes on your Peloton or you've done what you do, you pat yourself on the back and you say, we can do this. This next 13 pounds, we've got this because we're learning how to handle these urges to eat. Here's the thing. Urges to eat don't go away. You just
learn
to manage them and they don't seem to be such a big deal. Practice. It takes
practice. I think that's the part that I'm in right now is I'm still making them a big deal. I loved what you said about the sand and the marble rolling down. It's a good visual for me to remember when I'm thinking about, because sometimes it's like the thought, it feels so futile to keep working on those neural pathways because you can't see the results that easily. And so that's such a I think that's going to help in terms of just sticking with it. Cause it's like, maybe you have to roll that marble down 26 times.
And
maybe
you have to
keep
going.
You might
have to push it a little bit. You might have to put it on its way a little bit too, because it's creating that new path.
So I found that really helpful.
Well, good. I'm glad. Does that help?
Yeah, it does help a lot. Yeah, that really helps.
All right. Good deal.
All right. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
There might be another question or two here. Let's see if I got to the bottom of them. Okay. So somebody asked, what is buffering? That's a great question. I really didn't answer it, actually. So buffering is distracting yourself from feeling. So buffering goes in the action line of the model. If you are uncomfortable, experiencing discomfort, having an urge, stressed out, annoyed, you know, you're feeling something you don't want to feel and you distract yourself, that's buffering. Okay. So you distract yourself by eating or shopping or doing something to take your mind off of what you're feeling. Okay. So that's what buffering is. That's what a lot of us do in order to not feel uncomfortable. We eat in order to not sit with an urge. We eat so that we feel, you know, we think we feel better, but we're not really feeling better. We're just distracting ourselves from feeling uncomfortable. So that's what buffering is. I too have been allowing urges instead of telling my habit brain to take a hike. Perhaps it is because I have been receiving compliments, encouragement. Essentially, people are noticing me. I realize this is making me uncomfortable. Is there a thought or mantra I can begin telling myself to help stay on track? Well, you said, Brenda, that you're allowing urges instead of telling your habit brain to take a hike. It seems to me like telling your habit brain to take a hike is kind of like resisting it. So allowing urges, do you mean you're eating in response to the urges? Is that, I think that's probably what you mean. I think what you have to figure out is the reason you're having the urges is because you're feeling uncomfortable because people, you have a thought about what people are saying to you. So that thought is making you uncomfortable. And the thought is probably like, they're noticing me, or I don't really believe what they're saying, or something like that. It makes you uncomfortable. And that discomfort, you're trying to avoid, so you're eating, right? So how can you begin telling yourself, what can you tell yourself? How about just saying out loud, thank you, I've been working very hard, and acknowledging the compliment, and in the same time, you're telling yourself that you've been doing good work. Step 5, right? Reinforce the new you. That's what I'd do. She said, yes, eating. So does that help? I mean, that's what I would do. You know, it is when you're used to, I remember when you're used to not being noticed or status quo or whatever, when you're a little bit heavier and you lose weight, people notice that. And it is kind of, it for me, who's, you know, kind of a background kind of girl, it was a little odd. I wouldn't say it was uncomfortable. But I wasn't used to people noticing me. So I would, you know, a lot of times they would ask me, what are you doing, you know, to lose this weight? And I would always say, I'm just making really good decisions. I'm just taking care of myself. I'm working on ways to, you know, to be healthy. And in saying that out loud, I was reinforcing to myself that I was doing this for me, that I was working very hard, that I was making better decisions and trying to be healthy. So it's kind of a combo of step two, being my own best friend, and step five, reinforcing the new me. So I hope that helps. All right. Any other questions? Oh, there's one more. Is it okay to plan a store meet in response to an urge, not planned ahead, but at the store, given to Halloween candy? I brought it home, put it on a plate, noted feeling, and said I can stop when ready. If you plan a store meet, you need to do it 24 hours in advance. Okay, there is a call on the website on planned. She calls it a planned binge. It's the same thing. It's a store meet, an overeat. If you want to plan to eat all the candy, you need to do it 24 hours in advance. That way, the plan goes on the plan, and it goes into the conscious brain. You don't just lay it out and hope you don't eat it and say, well, I planned this, you know, because I just bought it. Do it 24 hours in advance. You really, really want to activate your prefrontal cortex. All right, there's one more hand here. Let's just do this real quick, and then we'll be done. Aggie Mars, maybe you can tell me if I've said your name right. Did you mean, hello? Did you want to have your hand raised? Oh, there you are. Hi.
Hello. Hi, how are you? I'm gonna take you outside if that's okay.
Okay.
I was at camp and was afraid to ask this question.
Okay.
And I knew that was gonna happen, and I knew I was gonna get on a call and ask you anyway.
Okay.
I should have just done it there. But
okay.
I am trying to wrap my mind around and I know that's just a thought, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around living in a much smaller space than I used to live in. We recently moved, we downsized big time. So I'm finding that I'm sorry, is that wind bothering you?
No.
Okay. I'm finding that I have a shorter fuse because there's really not much space mm-hmm. in my home. Mm-hmm. So I bump heads with my daughter, with mm-hmm. my husband. And I'm happy where I am. Don't get me wrong. I'm very grateful for where I am. I don't know if there's something that I can do when I'm having those feelings to kind of take myself away for the moment. I know you've mentioned meditation, mm-hmm. Journaling, mm-hmm. Maybe going for a walk. I don't know. Will that be enough to get me from not grabbing for something? Because that's what I did.
Yeah,
I
that's how
chocolate pretzels. They were there. Yeah.
You're buffering yeah. the uncomfortable feelings by grabbing the chocolate pretzels. I think what I would do is I would journal on the question: how can I make living here easy? How can I love living here in my new space? How can I create a space that I don't mind being in? I think I would start asking yourself the question that you really want to answer. And if you answer that question, you're going to come up with a lot of thoughts, a lot of things that you can put in the model, and that okay. you can decide which ones land and then access those thoughts when you start to get frustrated, so that you don't turn to eating. This is a really great tie-in to these new actions. Okay. You know, for you, the alternate action is to journal, right? When I talked about the five steps, for you, the alternate action, instead of eating when you have the urge because you're stressed out in this smaller place,
right?
You journal, or you go for a walk, or you do something that clears your mind long enough for you to be open enough to come back in and be the person that you want to be without eating.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I wish I would have had, yes, and I wish I would have said something at camp, but oh, it's so nerve-wracking.
Well, when are you coming back?
I'm coming back in October, Kathy.
Well, there you go. You can say something then.
Yes, ma'am, I will. All you right. have yourself a great night.
You too.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Okay, y'all. I think that's it. That's all the questions. That's all the hands. I'm going to let you go for the night. I love this topic. So I sure hope it was helpful. And I will put I'll link to this workbook in the show notes so that you guys will have that and you'll have these five steps and you can think on them. I mentioned Atomic Habits and a couple of other books, and I'll put those links in too. Okay. You guys have a good evening and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.